But I want you to realize this morning that that's what we're going to talk about. We're trying to lay some groundwork and move forward into understanding so that you and I can walk in the victory that God wants us to walk in. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's take a look at John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son of Man, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." I want us to hear what that scripture is truly saying. As Jesus grew up, we don't have much of a record. But as Jesus came into ministry, you'll remember that the very first thing that happened was he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And at that point, Jesus' life changed. Then we start hearing about miracle after miracle after miracle. But Jesus said right away, "I am doing what I see my Father doing." Guys, that's what we need to understand, what has to happen within us. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come inside and dwell. Now, I want you to understand that there is an initial Holy Spirit. It says that without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't even come to salvation. We couldn't come to know who Jesus was. It took the Holy Spirit to act upon our life, to call us to repentance. Okay, that's the very first application of the Holy Spirit. But then Jesus told his disciples to wait until they received power. Remember that? In Acts, he said, "Wait until you receive power." Think about all the Old Testament times that the word wait is there. Wait upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? It doesn't mean to sit down and do nothing. That's not at all what that word was talking about. It was talking about sitting in the very presence of God. To wait for that presence to fill and show us and move us. And then get up and do it, because we now have the power. Now, the authority that we have been given. Let's go back to some more scripture. John 5:30 says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Jesus said these words. This is, you see, sometimes we get this impression that Jesus, being the Son of God, came with power. He was born with this power. No, it said he set that aside so that he could come and be born in the flesh. It was when the Holy Spirit came upon him that he now had power. And that's what he's saying. I could do nothing, because he came just like you and I, powerless wimps. Now, I know you look at Johnny and you say, "Yeah, he's not too powerless." And then when you find out he knows all these karate things and so forth, and you begin to really... But no, he's just as powerless in the spiritual realm as any of the rest of us when we came. But it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And this is the thing we need to understand. In Matthew 28, Jesus started the Great Commission with these words: "All authority in heaven and on earth." And last week I introduced to you the fact that at the time of the temptation, Satan said, took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "Now these kingdoms I offer you." Satan was also talked about as the ruler of this world. You see, when man sinned, the authority that man had was lost. And so Jesus had to come into this lost world so that he could redeem it. And so we find, though, that Jesus came in just like you and I, and then he moved forward. John 8:28 says, "So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I had nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me.'" Are you hearing this? Are you getting it? What is it that you and I need to be doing? Looking to the Father to see what he's doing. Listening for the Spirit to see what the Father wants to do. Jesus said, "I have won back the authority and I'm passing it on to you guys. You have authority to do what the Father is doing." All right. John 7:16-18 says, "Jesus answered, 'My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whatever my teaching comes, will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." All right. We've got some groundwork now. I want us to recognize that you and I need to be just like Jesus. And I want you to know that the Scripture says that is possible. In fact, it says that even greater things than what Jesus has done, we will do. So guys, break that mold of "I can't do anything," because that is wrong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. But guys, we need to get this groundwork. What is it that we're supposed to be doing? What are all these all things? Those are the things we see the Father doing. He tells us that sometimes we ask amiss and therefore it doesn't happen. So guys, spend time being Spirit-led and then you won't ask amiss. Sometimes it's hard for us to crucify ourselves enough to hear the Spirit's leading. But that is important. Each day we need to crucify ourselves. I need to get up and say, "Robert, die. Christ Jesus, live in me and through me." Amen? Amen. Each of us needs to do that each morning. And to know that God has set out there for us to do His work that day. Yes, we go to jobs, we go to school, we go to play, but there are many opportunities that God will give us to minister in His name. So we need to be listening to the Spirit. All right. Now I'd like you, if you would, to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Verses 54 through 57. "And coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they became astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?' And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief.'" Now, the one thing that I want you to realize is the basis that I said that Jesus didn't perform miracles before the Holy Spirit came upon him. This is borne out in this scripture. They had seen Jesus grow up right there in Nazareth. He hadn't been one who had been doing miracles. He hadn't been one who had astonished them about what he knew. But when he came back, they were astonished. Now, I want you to realize there are two ways that you and I are going to react when something astonishes us. One, we're going to rejoice and embrace it, or two, we're going to try to crucify it. The town of Nazareth could not accept and embrace it. Therefore, they tried to crucify it. And this is where we begin seeing that faith is so tied in to miracles. It says Jesus could not do many miracles. But to those few that had faith, miracles still happened. Even though there was unbelief all around, miracles still happened. Do you notice it doesn't say he could do no miracles? He said he could not do many. All right. Guys, I challenge you, even when we're in the midst of unbelief, don't let that limit what we believe God can do. Because God isn't bound by someone's unbelief, except in their own life. You see, God has set up these authority. And one of the things he has done is he's given you authority to choose to believe or not believe. He's given you the authority to choose to believe a whole host of things, not only about salvation, but think about how many people have chosen to believe that the miracles and the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit were done away with. And guess what? They don't see them happening. But even in that unbelief, if we believe, it can happen. It will happen. We need to understand the difference there. Now, if you'd turn over to Luke 4:36. And amazement came on them all, and they began discussing with one another and saying, "What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." All right. We need to understand that when we're talking about unclean spirits, when we're talking about, if you want to call them demons, or whatever you want to call them by, fallen angels, Jesus has given us authority over that. Now, I want us to also understand that some things we have to step back and we have to hear the will of God in. For example, we see that throughout Jesus' life, he brought healing after healing after healing. Everyone who came to him and asked received. However, we also see in the New Testament the Apostle Paul, who had an affliction in the flesh. He sought the Lord, and the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient." So, that's where you and I have to spend the time to know what God's will is, whether it is to have a healing in this particular situation. Now, I personally believe that God really, very rarely wants to leave a person sick. And this is the thing, Scripture doesn't tell us what Paul's thorn in the flesh is for sure. There's indications that possibly, because later in his writings he talks about, "See, I'm writing this in my own hand, and see how large it is." The concept that's taken from that is that probably his affliction was his eyesight. But I want you to see that throughout the Gospels, anyone who came to Jesus was healed. And I want you to see that there wasn't one particular way to have it happen. If you remember, there's a scripture that says that Jesus had touched the eyes and the person began to see, and what they saw was like trees walking. It was so blurry that he couldn't tell that they were people, and he touched their eyes again. So, does that mean I'm going to have to go up to you and touch you twice for you to get your healing? No. In that situation, that's what happened. Jesus spit in the dirt and made mud and put it on an eye. Does that mean I have to spit in the dirt and put mud on your eyes to get your sight back? No. In that situation, Jesus listened to the Father and did what the Father said. So guys, do you hear what I'm saying? That whole basis of those first scriptures was because Jesus was listening to the Father and seeing what He was doing. And guys, then He says, I give you authority to do the same thing. So guys, He has given us authority to begin to hear and listen and to do what He says. But we have to stop and wait upon Him. Wait upon Him. That's the key to seeing what the Father is doing. Mark 11, verse 28. Take a look with me there. Mark 11, verse 28. And began saying to him, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? Now, again, we see authority. Do you hear how key authority is in the believer's life? It is so important that we understand this concept, because if we don't understand it, we're going to walk defeated Christian lives. And we don't have to. God has given us much authority. Just as He gave Jesus the authority that was totally won back. At this point in Jesus' life, the authority was coming from God the Father through the Holy Spirit to empower Him to do it. And in our life, what happens? The Word of God tells us and leads us. We listen to the Word of God, and then we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the same process, seeing what the Father's doing and listening and doing it. So, this morning, what I'm trying to get across, and I hope that it has been clear, as clear can be, you and I have been given authority to do the same things that Jesus did. But it is only by seeing what the Father does. That's why in one situation He used mud, in another He touched them twice, in another a person came up and simply touched His clothing. And then we see in the New Testament that as the disciples walked by, their shadows would even bring healing. Whoa, Jesus didn't do that. We don't have a record of His shadow healing anyone. Remember, He said even greater things. So guys, let's begin to walk in the authority. And I'm going to continue to kind of broaden this concept in the next several weeks, because we need to understand what we have been given the right to do and what Satan is trying to rob us from doing. And you see, this is one of the things. Much of the church today is robbed of the victory. You see, they get into this thing, I'll preach salvation over and over and over. Well, hallelujah, that's wonderful, because if there's someone here that doesn't know about Jesus Christ and that they can receive salvation and eternal life from Him through the blood, they need to hear that. But guys, how many of you don't know that message? That's what I thought. So, we need to move on. And that's where it's told in Scripture that we don't stay on the milk of the Word. We have to move on to the meat. I'm challenging you this morning, let's start eating meat. And let's really get strong in God's Word and in following His leading. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. For Your Word that comes to dwell within us and to lead us and guide us. So, Father, we just ask this morning that You will continue to draw us nearer, to show us how to walk, how to rise in that righteousness and holiness that we've been called to. Help us to understand your word, that we may not be deceived by Satan's lies. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.